Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Like, much like it, say good morning back. It's like the okay.
Good morning. Okay. Nice to see you. Thank you. Joining us today, I want to thank you both for being here. Ken Hirschman, kind of way everyone knows who Ken is, from president of HBO Sports, and Ken Rogers, who's a supervising producer for NFL Films. As everybody's aware, we announced last week it'll be featured on HBO's Hard Knocks this year, five episodes beginning August 5th, which I think everybody here is aware of. And we're anxious and looking forward to creating a series that will strengthen the bond between our Atlanta Falcon fans, the NFL fans across the country, and everything that we're trying to do here in Atlanta and the NFL is trying to do across all 32 franchises. Many of you know, some of you may know now, that the NFL has asked us, NFL Films has asked us for a number of years to participate in the show since 2009, the exception of the lockout year. And as you all also know, that a resolution was passed last year by the owners that by the nature of the resolution would not require us to participate this year, given our playoff appearance in 2012. So to me, the most obvious question is, then, well, why did you agree to do it, you know, in this year? And I'll give you some reasons why I think now made sense to us organizationally. First, you know, the NFL's process is before they go to the required list, the list of teams that are in a position where they would be required or be asked to do this, the NFL Films, HBO, the league believes, let's ask for teams that are anxious to do it or are willing to do it. And as a club, as an owner, I'm blessed having a coach, a general manager, a team president, probably should be here as well, which, as you know, chairs the competition committee for the league and is a great partner to the league on a whole variety of subjects dealing with health and safety of players as well as competition rules. We understand the importance of Hard Knocks in terms of the National Football League, and so we've agreed to discuss the matter further, and that was when they first approached us. We also thought it would be healthier for us to make, and I generally believe in life, in business or in life generally, you're always in a position, better position to make decisions when you can control them versus somebody else controlling them for you. So we wanted to put this on our own timetable versus having it at some point in the future the league come to us and say, well, you're required to be part of this pool now. So that was the first reason. The second reason, we did this, doing this for our fans. And I say our fans, fans of the Atlanta Falcons, fans really across the NFL. Starting with our commissioner, this owner, this head coach, this general manager, this team president, this is an organization and a league that believes to a greater extent ever in access and in transparency. We know how important it is for fans to understand what's going on with our team, the building process, the development process that we go through. And we understand at the end of the day, and I've said this since 2001 when I was fortunate enough to acquire the team, is that without fans and their support, we have 22 men playing sandlot football, playing each other, and that's it. So fans drive, you know, the success for the National Football League. Our commissioner understands that. I understand that. Everybody in this organization understands that. Third, I think we did this because we're blessed having a group of players and coaches that have the ability to focus the concentration, the ability to focus both on their work and prepare for the season as well as handle whatever the requirements and demands are of NFL Films, et cetera. We believe we have an elite franchise in the National Football League. We believe that based on our record in the last 6 years, since I've been blessed with the leadership of these two men in terms of our football operations. We believe we have a great story to tell, and we're anxious to share that story with our fans. So I want to read a quote here that Dwight Lowry, a free agent safety, we picked up this last year, said when he heard about Hard Knocks, and I'll read his words. If a player is distracted by a few crews on the sideline of practice, you certainly won't be able to handle fourth and one in the final minutes of a playoff game with 70,000 people screaming. The increased attention has traditionally meant a greater focus and not less. And that's from a player's perspective. And I would also add, having made a practice since 2001, being on the field in the fourth quarter, the middle of the fourth quarter of all of our games, away, home, winning, losing, whatever it may be, I will tell you that the intensity from a coaching perspective is dramatic. And I'm trying to think of the right words to use. Smitty might use some other words other than that. And their ability to make the right decisions and to focus on the opposition, players, our schemes, what we have to do to win a game or hold on to a win or avoid a loss is very intense. So, you know, my view is that whatever these folks are going to be asking them to do on a relative basis is not much compared to what they deal with in reality throughout the season. The fourth, and I want to say this with the NFL films here, is that we have very high regard for their work. Traditionally, the founders of NFL films and the folks that have driven that process, they have been a great leaders in their own right in terms of media development, exposure, telling the story of our players, of our coaches, of the game, of the intensity of our game, the stress of our game, the victories, the pains, everything that goes into our game in the most beautiful way, and have gotten, you know, international recognition for their work. We're convinced that they're going to be great partners in providing our fans with an accurate and interesting and an exciting experience in terms of what it takes to build a football club. We're enthused about having them as a great partner, and they can speak for themselves. And the last point I would make is that, you know, as an organization, I think the process that we've used each year this was presented to us has been very thoughtful. We vetted this year all the pros and cons of why we declined in prior years. We weighed the pros and cons for this year. These two gentlemen and Rich McKay and Kim Schreckengast, our executive vice president, spent a fair amount of time with NFL Films and discussing the process that they will go through and you know how they'll be involved and you know in the editing of it, et cetera, when appropriate. And the one point I want to make is that, you know, we do a lot of things in this organization based on collaborative decisions. And this was a collaborative decision. But at the end of the day, certain decisions are not made by a Democratic vote. That's kind of the way it is in business. Sometimes that's the way it is in life. This is not a Democratic vote. The decision makers are to my right and left on this. It's not the man in the middle here. And I say that to you because, you know, we want to be certain that the football operations, our coaching staff, our players, our general manager, players, coaches, et cetera, his staff are fully in control of this situation. They have the responsibility of building this team. They have the responsibility of player development. They have the responsibility of winning. And we want to make sure we give them every ability culturally, resource-wise, environmentally to do that. So at the end of the day, this is not, you know, six people sitting in a room all voting. It's everybody discussing the pros and cons of a critical decision, I think, for our organization. And then walking out of the room and these gentlemen really making this decision. And I support their decision. I'm enthusiastic about their decision. We're as excited as we can be about working with NFL Films over the summer and be part of the HBO programming. And, you know, I said this to Howard Katz, who's responsible for a lot of our media scheduling and developing of HBO and other things, not HBO, but Hard Knocks, earlier this morning, is that we want, as I had an experience last year when Cincinnati did this program, when I spoke to Mike Brown, the owner of the Bengals when he was here, And Mike is somebody I have great respect for, and probably one of the more thoughtful, yet one of the more conservative owners in the league. And Mike did this 2 out of 4 years, I believe, in the last 4 years, 4 or 5 years, is that right?
Yeah.
Both of those years, by the way, incidentally, they made it to the divisional playoffs. They won, I think they won the division. They played in the divisional playoffs, so I don't want to misspeak on that. But they were very successful years. You know, Ken's going to take responsibility for that, or either one of the Kens will, but, I mean, their coach might not and their players might not, but they'll take responsibility for it. But the point is that Mike said to me, you know, I asked him, I said, well, you know, we've had this opportunity in the past. We haven't really taken advantage of it, you know, et cetera. He said, you know, after a couple of days, he said, frankly, you know, folks, Mena Films have become like our partners in doing this. And it has become a non-event for our coaches and players and me as the owner. So that meant a lot to me as well in terms of my own thinking on the process and what have you. So with that, you've already, I think, heard from Smitty and Thomas, I think, separately on this. They were happy to answer any questions as well that you might have for them, but I really thought we'd turn it over to the two Kens and give them an opportunity to talk about films and HBO and ask any questions of them you would like to, and we'll answer any of the questions you have. So, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blank. First, thank you all for coming. I can't tell you how grateful we are to be here, to be invited by the Atlanta Falcons. And, you know, we want to thank Mr. Blank and Thomas and Coach Smith for inviting us in. I think if you just listen to Mr. Blank's remarks, you can understand why we're so excited about being here and being part of this season of Hard Knocks. The other thank you goes to NFL Films, to Ken and Howard Katz and their team, because, you know, we've been working with them since 1977 in varying ways, and we're now facing our 9th season of Hard Knocks. And the show and the series continues to evolve and get better and better. You know, I think we are now have won 11 sports Emmys, and with record ratings on HBO, it's clearly a fan and industry favorite. So we're going to continue that. And to echo Mr. Blank's comments, again, this is a show for the fans, and it really is. And I think that there's no better place, no better vehicle than HBO for that unfiltered, you know, experience that fans can enjoy and watch as the preseason evolves. I'm often asked about what moments in Hard Knocks I think are some of the best, and you know, there's too many to mention. But one thing I can tell you is it's never a great play on the field. There's so much attention and coverage of the games and the athleticism of these guys, and it is unbelievable to watch, and I'm a big fan. But for me, Hard Knocks is so different because the experiences there are about relationships, how they evolve between the coaches and the players, between the players themselves. The families are also involved at time to time. It's about success. It's about failure. It's about human drama and emotion. And it's storytelling, really, in its finest. And I think that that's what's so captivating about the show. And whether you're an Atlanta Falcon fan or an NFL fan or just a fan of human drama, there's no better show on television. And the person who leads that is sitting next to me, the other Ken. I will introduce him. He's the supervising producer of NFL Films and the long time now head of this show. So, without further ado, Ken.
Thanks, Ken, and thanks again to the entire Falcons organization for hosting us this summer. We're so excited to be here and excited to be on HBO again. It's a fabulous partnership, and whenever we do these series, it becomes a three-way partnership, and I think that's going to be very evident on the show, that this is a three-way partnership between the National Football League and NFL Films and our broadcast partner in HBO and the team. I don't think the show could survive if it wasn't that way. I mean, this is a partnership through and through. We've been shooting training camp since 1967. That's 47 years now.
Wow.
And the famous story that Steve Sable always told is that his first training camp was for the 1967 Green Bay Packers. Hmm. And he got Vince Lombardi to agree to let him shoot for the day. And at the end of the day, Steve was packing up his film and equipment, and Coach Lombardi came over and said, hey, I want you to come back tomorrow. And Steve apologized and said, I only brought enough film for one day. I'm sorry, we don't have any more film. And Coach Lombardi said, the players won't know that. They practice harder today than they have all training camp. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's a great story.
So
that's a great story.
So Steve came back the next day and shot without any film in the camera. And we've been shooting training camps ever since. We spent the 1971 training camp with George Allen and the Redskins for a film called Hail to the Redskins. In 1976, we spent the entire training camp with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a film called The Birth of the Bucs, and there was a young ball boy named Rich McKay on the sidelines.
With a full head of hair that blossomed out to here.
In that camp. And really, since 2001, in partnership with HBO, that's been Hard Knocks has been an extension of those type of shoots. And as these gentlemen have said, it really is for the fans. There's a history at NFL Films of making players bigger than life, and we spent a lot of our early years creating myths around these players, so successfully that players became almost mythical. And now we sort of focus on doing the opposite at times, which is revealing them as human beings, the people behind the face masks. And I think Hard Knocks is the best example of watching men working hard for a united goal, coming together as a team, and chasing the one thing that they all want together. Individuals become a team. And it's a great story and one we're excited to tell this summer here in Atlanta. It's only the second team in the NFC that we've covered and the first time in the NFC South. So we're super excited and look forward to a great summer.
I will tell you that almost every time, without exception, that Thomas has to deal with a player, they think they are mythical. So he deals with reality of in many cases they are, but he deals with that all the time. Right.
Yes.
So okay. So we'll open it up to questions.
Falcons have been at the very top of welcoming. We've never had a team be not welcoming of us, first of all, but the excitement we've had here just in the last week since the announcement and the invitation to be here has really been palpable. I think the entire organization has embraced not just the concept, but the people behind the show, the people who were here this week and spending some time around the team have already started bonding with the people here at the Falcons, and it speaks to that partnership. I think all three organizations are as excited as we've ever been on any episode or any season of Hard Knocks.
I will tell you, let me add on to the answer if I can. I told Howard Katz this morning when I was chatting with him that our goal is that, looking back, that we're going to feel, films are going to feel, HBO is going to feel, fans are going to feel, this is the best version of Hard Knocks ever done. That's our aspiration from every stakeholder's viewpoint, which is typical of the way we run our franchise and the way NFL raises the bar every year and every year of its businesses. So, yes?
How much veto power do the Falcons have on an episode, and is it a different deal with every team, or is this a specific deal, or is it just a blanket?
I can answer that. It's really the same every year. It's part of the nature of the show and the relationship that we have. And that is that Coach Smith will be able to view the show on Tuesday mornings before it airs for competitive balance reasons. We certainly at NFL Films are very cognizant of not tipping competitive balance one way or the other. So sometimes there's phrases used that we're not aware are part of the play call structure. And washing machine comes up, and we miss it, and we don't know what washing machine means, but you know it means this type of play. So Coach will be watching the show to make sure that we don't overstep our bounds and give away anything that could hurt his team, because that's the last thing we want to do. Other than that, I think the trust has always been there, and we expect it to be there again, that we're here to represent what happens at camp and not inflame in any way things that aren't happening. We're a documentary program, and what happens at camp is what you will see on television on Tuesday nights with no filter.
Coach, how does that make you feel?
Well, makes me feel very comfortable in terms of the relationship. NFL Films has always done a great job documenting the game of football. You know, I remember growing up watching Steve Sable's productions. They weren't every week, but when they came out, and it is something that I'm very comfortable with, and we're very comfortable with as an organization. NFL Films is a partner of the National Football League, and HBO has been a longstanding partner as well. So we'll just watch the episode and look for the, you know, the things that would be a competitive disadvantage for us. That's the one thing that we don't want to have happen, and we are very confident that it won't. You know, and Ken and their staffs, they've done this a long time. They know how to stay out of the way, and as they said, they want to just become a fly on the wall and see how we operate. And we will go through that process with them for these 5 weeks, and we're looking forward to it. I don't think that fly is going to land on us, without a doubt. You know, the 3 days that they've been here, for me as a coach and I think as a player, having experienced it in Baltimore and a version of it in Jacksonville, just like Dwight said in his quote, after the first couple of days, you don't even realize they're here. They're part of the team, and they're part of what we're trying to do, and that's put together the best 53 men on our roster, and they're trying to document it.
Thomas, it seems like during the offseason and the draft and the build-up in free agency, you spend just as much time focused on personalities and character and things like that to bring into the locker room to create that strong locker room effect. How much of you is excited to see maybe some of those personalities, some of that character in the guys that you've selected to put on a national stage?
I've said this time and again, we've made a concerted effort to put together a locker room we're proud of, not only handling themselves on the field properly in the community. We're very proud of that for Arthur and for the rest of the businesses. And we think we have a lot of personality in this team. We have some smart individuals who will handle themselves well, but they'll also are going to be very natural about it. And as Smitty had mentioned earlier, this week has shown that our guys are ready to be natural about it, and I think they'll put on a very good product for the production. And again, I'm excited about being a part of this. And like Smitty and Mr. Blank, we're all in on this, and we think we can help be one of the best productions yet.
From a Falcons perspective, how do you plan on making it better than the previous seasons?
Well, from the coaching perspective, we're coaches. We're just going to go out and coach. You know, and how we can make it better is, We're being evaluated 16 times right now with our one loss record. We're gonna get evaluated a little bit more, in terms of those six episodes. You know, people are gonna be watching. We're gonna be on high alert. We're gonna get an opportunity to watch our players compete and watch ourselves coach. And I think being in that fishbowl will put a lot of pressure on us, which I think that's what we need.
And maybe Vince Lombardi was right. Second day, no film, it's okay. Everybody's a little more, turned up.
Mike, there are uncomfortable moments, and we've seen them already on the show. When a player gets released, how comfortable are you with the idea of the camera being around for that?
That's the process of the NFL, and those, there's certain things that I think are sacred. We've had discussions about them as we've gone through vetting out this opportunity. There's certain things. And I know this, NFL Films and HBO are going to do everything in a tactful way. And to me, that's the most important thing. As coaches, we're here to serve these players. That's what coaches do. And we want to make sure that everybody gets what they want, but we want to make sure that it's done tactfully, and I know that it will be.
Coach,
Thomas asked Coach this yesterday. I'll ask you as well. I mean, did you consult any of the other GMs that had gone through this process before as well? I mean, as Chris just mentioned, I mean, there will be some kind of awkward moments, I guess, that have to be shown where you've got to tell guys bad news and stuff like that.
No, I didn't necessarily consult. I felt very good about our meeting with the staffs, you know, that we met with a couple weeks ago. And Smitty and I have talked a lot about it along with Arthur. And I think in the end, we believe in what we do here and how we approach things. And what other teams do and how they approach things isn't necessarily of interest to me. I say that respectfully. And I think we carry on with our business the way that we do, as Arthur had mentioned earlier. And to reach out to someone else isn't going to, you know, sort of change how we approach things. And I think Smitty would agree.
So. Yeah.
Just from a technical standpoint, how many players on a typical practice will be mic'd up?
On a typical basis, we'll have up to 12 coaches or players mic'd per practice. There's only 5 crews that shoot, so our footprint is actually fairly small. I think it's a testament to Rob Gehring and the staff that's here on site. Rob is our director. That it seems like there's 100 cameras around and that everyone is mic'd at all times. And that's because we've been shooting since 1967. We're very aware of how things operate at a camp and when to get out of the way and where the traffic flows. Very simple things about where certain routes are run during certain drills. We're very aware of that because we've been doing this for a while. So while the 12 wires per practice is sort of the norm, the footprint is much smaller than what that sounds like. We have robotic cameras in offices throughout the facility each year, and that's also, again, to cut down on foot traffic and a bunch of people being in offices. Crews walking into an office in the middle of the meeting is not something we want to have. We don't want to disrupt the operations here. So those rooms are done with robotic cameras in order to stay out of the way. And we always say our number one goal is to make a great show, but 1A is to make sure that we don't disrupt the team going towards its goal of winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You asked me that question, Smitty.
Okay.
Well, I don't know that. Go ahead, Arthur.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
In terms of being portrayed, I want, you know, this is a documentary, so it's going to be portrayed by what takes place over the 5 weeks as we build our team. You know, there is a process. That's a word that I've used many times. There's a process each and every year. This year, it's the 2014 edition. We are going to go through that process of building a team, and there's a lot of fun that goes on. There's a lot of hard work. There's a lot of guys that have to be resilient. And I want people to see what the Atlanta Falcons are all about. I feel like we have one of the best coaching staffs, or the best coaching staff in the NFL, the best personnel staff, and just let's document how the Atlanta Falcons have had the success that we've had over the last 6 years.
Coach, when you took over the Falcons, you would say you wouldn't have done this in your first year or second year. What does it say about you in your career as a head coach that now you're ready for this and now it's something that you're ready for?
Well, I don't think that it has really anything to do with that. There are a number of factors that come in play. But let me say how I really came to grips in terms of having a comfort level. Every game in the NFL, we have these boom mics, okay? It's no different than our game. You turn on NFL Network, you turn on any of the networks that are covering our games, they capture everything that is happening on a sideline. They're just there for a two-hour period. It's no different. They're just going to be around when we're on the practice field, when we're in meetings. So it really doesn't change. That's what we do when we're playing on game day. Everything that we do and say is being captured. And we're going to get an opportunity to do that for a five-week period.
You know, my answer to the young lady's question is that I mean, essentially it's the Smitty's, but I used the word I used earlier. I mean, we believe we have a very elite franchise in the NFL. We understand last year was not, you know, the kind of year that anybody relating to our organization is happy about. But I would also remind everybody, and Ryan, myself, and everybody here is aware of that, for the five preceding years, we had the second most wins in the National Football League and the most wins in the National Football League Conference. And the job that these two gentlemen have done over an extended period of time is sustainable. That story should be told. And that story with our players and coaches and fans and personnel folks should be told. And we think it's one that we want to share with as many people as we can, subject to Smitty and Thomas not getting an ulcer over sharing things that, you know, I'm giving somebody an edge, and Ken already addressed that earlier.
I would say it's not inevitable that it's a distraction, because I don't believe it's a distraction. We at NFL Films have too much respect for what the players and coaches go through to allow us or anything that we do to become a distraction. We feel that we fit in very well. We've been doing this a long time, and I have, again, too much respect for what happens on the field on game days to think that being on Hard Knocks is even in the top 10,000 reasons that a team wins or loses during the regular season. I just I don't think it rates anywhere near a random play in the first quarter of game three carries more meaning to wins and losses than being on this show.
Got the big season opener in New Orleans. Just walking fans and everyone through this training camp process, what kind of atmosphere do you expect with first home opener in 5 years against the Saints? Do you feel like Hard Knocks is going to help increase that atmosphere?
Oh, you hardly need any reason whatsoever playing any team in the NFL, certainly not the New Orleans Saints, either here or in New Orleans, to create the kind of fervor and enthusiasm, adrenaline, passion, whatever the words you can think of that we're going to see on that first game. They'll be ready, we'll be ready, and it should be one heck of a football game.